Don't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark. Well, according to the Gabe Gadget Mesonet Center here in the studio, it's 86.7 degrees here. It's 50% humidity. The winds are out of the east, looks like, 3 miles an hour. And in our listening area, let's check out some temperatures, see who got the hot spot. Looks like Bessie, Oklahoma, is the hot spot right now. It's 89. 84 at Altus, 85 at the capital of Harmon County, Hollis. Eric's 88. Woodward, you're coming in at 85. Freedom, 87. Buffalo, 87. And Slap Out, you are at 85. On the Texas side, looks like Canadian and Wheeler, you're at 86. And Shamrock, you're at 87 degrees. All right, let's go on. We got all kinds of things happening in the studio today. I got people watching me behind my back, making sure I don't mess up, because tomorrow we start doing the Today in Ag show live at KWFX 100.1 in Woodward. So we're going to have the whole western half of the state covered, and a lot more of the Texas Panhandle and Oklahoma Panhandle covered. So I'm excited. Tomorrow, one of my favorite people's coming in, Jancy Ripito. She's going to get to take out of school and come in and help me tomorrow for our grand opening for the KWFX 100.1. So it's going to be a good day, and we got some FFA stuff going on, and it'll be all fun. Well, let's check out what's happening with the futures on grains. Looks like corn's in the red and everything else is in the green. September futures on corn is 673, December is 671, March is 677, May is 678. Soybeans, September, $15.19 a bushel. November is $14.34. January is $14.40. March is $14.42. And May is $14.43. Soybean meal, September, $464.50 a short ton. October is $427.70. December is $421.60. On your soybean oil, September is $0.7143 a pound. October is 68.67, December is 67.33. Hard red winter wheat, September, $9.21 a bushel. December is $9.09. Oats are September, $4.02 a bushel, $3.92 for December. Check out what cotton's doing. Looks like it's taking a decline backwards the last couple of days. Not bad, but it's still coming backwards. October is $1.17 a pound, and cotton for December is $1.12 a pound. Well, let's check out what's happening on the cash grain prices and the elevators in Oklahoma and Texas on the average. Hard red winter wheat is $8.50 a bushel. It's back up 11 today. Corn is down 6. It's at 746, and also Milo's down 6 at 676. Cash prices for soybeans and elevators around town is $14.56, and it's down 2. Not too bad. Well, let's see what's causing all this ruckus today. Soybeans plunged and grains were lower overnight on favorable weather in parts of the United States and other growing countries. Some rain fell earlier this week in parts of central and southeastern Illinois, northern and eastern Indiana, southern Ohio, northern Kentucky, and northern Arkansas, according to the Commodity Weather Group. Scattered rains in central and southeastern Midwest Monday and Tuesday, and broader 11 to 15 days rain limit expansion of dryness, according to the Commodity Weather Group. Still, a drier pattern is expected throughout the week to the weekend, other than some spotty showers in the upper Mississippi Valley and the Central Plains. Rain in Europe will expand the next 2 weeks, boosting wheat crops through the precipitation will have minimal effects for corn. Showers in southern Brazil will boost filling wheat this week and expand to northern states next week, which should help with soil moisture for corn and beans that will be planted later on. About 57% of the U.S. soybean crop was in good or excellent condition as of Sunday, unchanged week to week. The U.S. Department of Agriculture said in its report, 4% of the crop was dropping leaves and 91% was setting pods. About 54% of the U.S. corn crop earned top ratings last week. That's down 1%, according to the government. 8% of the corn was mature, 46% was dented, and 86% was in the dough stage at the start of the week. Half the spring wheat crop was in the bin as of last Sunday, up from 33% a week ago, but behind the prior five-year average of 71%, according to the USDA. Around 68% was in good or excellent condition as of Sunday, up about 64% a week earlier. At the same point in 2021, only 11% had earned top ratings. Soybean futures for November delivery fell 12 and a quarter cents to $14 and 20 and a quarter cents a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade. Soy meal was down $4.70 to $419.80 a short ton, while soybean oil futures dropped 0.27 cents to 66.08 cents a pound. Corn futures for December delivery lost 8¾ cents to $6.68.5 a bushel. Wheat for December delivery fell 7 pennies to $8.13¼ a bushel, while Kansas City futures declined 7½ cents to $8.90 a bushel. Well, Ukraine has shipped about 1.5 million metric tons of agriculture products since a deal was reached to get grain and other products out of the war-torn country. The ships left on around 61 cargo carriers under the deal that was brokered by Turkey and the United Nations. The first ship carrying agriculture products arrived in Africa yesterday, a milestone considering one of the goals was getting grain out of Ukraine was to boost food security in the region. This grain is amongst the first shipments of Ukrainian agriculture products exported from the Black Sea to reach some of the world's most food-insecure countries since the beginning of Russia's unjustified full-scale attack of Ukraine February 24th. The ship called the Brave Commander was carrying 23,300 metric tons of Ukrainian grain and where it docked at. Ukrainian agriculture exports may double by October from July to 6 million to 6.5 million metric tons. At the same time, however, a lower supply of grains overall can be expected. The country's grain crop is forecast at about 50 million metric tons. That's down 40% from year over year. Grain shipments are also down about half from last year's level. This likely will limit downside in wheat, at least for now. Well, some weather going on around the country. Scattered thunderstorms expected through southern Nebraska today, some of which have the potential to be severe, according to the National Weather Service. The best chances of storms will be in central Nebraska to the Kansas state line. Wind gusts may be 60 miles an hour and penny-sized hail possible. Farther south, storms also may develop in parts of Oklahoma and North Texas tonight, though the potential for severe weather is low. Some strong winds may hit the area. Rain is forecast for much of the areas each day through next Wednesday, for the strongest chances being tomorrow across southern Oklahoma and North Texas. Oh, we're kind of looking at the map. We're kind of right on that borderline. Well, today is Wednesday, and it's the Taylor Ranch Happy Cap Hour. When we get back, I'm going to tell you a little bit about some beef from the Taylor Ranch. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Drew Cobb. This is the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, August 29th. 1,467 head were sold. 6 head of steers at 370 brought 229. 7 at 484 brought 202. 10 at 565 brought 187. 15 at 647 brought 189.25. 30 at 719 brought 171.50. 19 at 815 brought 171.50. 13 at 966 brought 160. 4 head of heifers at 251 brought 239. 7 at 470 brought 162. 6 at 502 brought 161, 5 at 567 brought 154, 6 at 612 brought 153, 8 at 703 brought 163.50, 8 at 756 brought 160, butcher cows were 3 to 100.5, butcher bulls brought 30 to 123, Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, exit 71, Clinton, Oklahoma, sell every Monday at 10 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
If you're a farmer or rancher, you rely on a business that can help you get the things you need fast so you can get back to work. Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma is that business. They carry farm equipment, oil-filled cattle guards, and fencing supplies. How about a cattle chute or hay trailer? They've got them. You need welding supplies? They've got that too. Learn more at everettswelding.com or see their ad inside the Penny News. That's Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Eighty-six degrees here at the Gabe Gadget Mezzanette in the studio. Looks like 86 at Hollis, 84 at Altus, 87 at Hobart, 87 at Mangum, 89 Bessie, 89 at Butler, 89 at Putnam, 88 at Camargo. We're in the 80s, upper 80s. Anyway, I'll have your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast for you coming up here real shortly. And there is some chances of rain in the forecast. Not big chances, but I'll take some versus none. Well, today is the Taylor Ranch Happy Cap Hour on the Today in Ag Show. All cattle are not the same. Just like in people, our genetics determine our traits. Some people are tall, some short, some have blonde hair, and so on. It's the same in cattle. Cattle are not the same genetically, especially when it comes to making a good steak. Some cattle just make better steaks than others because they have the right genetics. Taylor Ranch has been working on their carcass genetics for over 17 years to develop animals that excel in both flavor and tenderness to give you that mouth-watering, best steak in your life eating experience. They develop every animal as if it was going to be served on their own table. That's Taylor Ranch, selling quarters, halves, or whole beef. Third-party verified, all-natural, and hormone-free is also available. Call Mr. Jimmy Taylor at 405-609-4662 if you want to put some beef in your freezer and get that very great eating experience. 405-609-4662 to get a hold of Jimmy. And Jimmy and Tracy do a wonderful job of raising commercial Black Angus cattle out there. It's a great deal. Well, let's check out what the live market is on the cattle. Let's get over to it. Should have did that during the break, but I didn't. But here we go. So August live cattle 141.55. October 142.50. December is 148.55. February is 153.25. Feeder cattle September 182.40. October is 183.35. Lean hogs October 91.30. December 83.82. Lean hogs for February, 87.40. All right, let's check out what happened yesterday. I've been wanting to do this all morning at Woodward. By the way, Hobart Stockyard sale is going on right now down there in Hobart. And tomorrow be Woodward's calf sale. Friday, Elk City Livestock Auction will be going on. The first Saturday of the month is always Hobart Stockyard sheep and goat sale. It's not happening this Saturday. It's Labor Day weekend. So they've moved it to September 10th at 11 a.m. Give Mr. Rex Fleming a call down there at Hobart for any of your buying or selling needs down there. The Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction will be closed Monday. It will not be happening on Labor Day. So if you got cattle needing to go to the sale, you need to get them in here to Elk City or get them up to Woodward. But Elk City will be going on this Friday. Okay. Compared to last week, slaughter cattle are mostly steady. Slaughter bulls $1 to $3 higher. The demand was moderate. The supply looks like there was 82% slaughter cattle, 6% replacement cattle, and they had a few feeder cattle there, the heifers. Prices, looks like they had somewhere around 50 head of breaker cows. Let's go over some of that. Average weight on some of them was $14.93. We're bringing $89 to $94. $90.53 was the average price of those. They had 32 head that averaged $15.31 on their weight, and they brought anywhere from $84 to $89 with the average price on them $87.16. And they had a few head that weighed $15.03 that brought $95 across the board. On some boner cattle, looks like there was 238 head. By the way, they had 1,392 head in there yesterday compared to 1,000 last week and 609 the week before. But on those 238 head of boner cattle, their average weight was 1,272. They brought $81.50 to $88.50 on the average. There was 50 head of boner cows that weighed 1,321 that brought anywhere from $88.50 to $92.50. And there was 73 head that averaged $12.34, brought anywhere from 77 cents to 81, averaged just below $80 per hundred weight. On lean cows, they had quite a few of those. Looks like almost 500 head there. They had 263 head that averaged 1,132 pounds, brought anywhere from 75 to 81 cents. Had 97 head that averaged 1,085, brought 70 to 75 cents. And then they had some 958s, brought up to 70 cents. And they had 25 head that was in the 970 range, was very low, returned, needed to be on feed, brought 61 cents. So they didn't look like they was in too good a shape or older cattle. On the bulls, looks like they had approximately almost 30 head there yesterday. They had six that average weight was $17.38, brought $100 to $109 per hundred weight. At 15 head that average weight $19.53, and they brought anywhere from $110 to $123. The dressing was really high on them. And then they had five head where the dressing was pretty low. Average weight on them was $17.30, but they still brought anywhere from 86 to 99 cents a pound or $86 to $99 hundred weight. Bred cows, medium and large, 2 to 4 year olds, looks like brought $13.35. Some 5 to 8 year olds that averaged around $13.04 brought $1,400 on the high end, and some more 5 to 8 year olds forehead there didn't weigh too much. $11.93 brought up to $11.35 a head, and that was on the bred cows. Bred cows, medium and large, 1 to 2s. They had one in there, didn't bring but about $910, but just barely weighed 1,000 pounds. On the pairs, medium and large, number ones with 150-pound calves. They had a few head in there that was bringing up to $15.75. And then on cow-calf pairs, medium and large, number ones with calves on them weighing 150 to 300 pounds. Looks like had quite a few of them in there that was 5 to 8 year olds. Brought up to $14.70. Some 2 to 4 year olds were bringing up to $1,400, and had one in there that was over 8, brought $1,300. Cow calf pairs, medium and large number ones with 300 pound calves or bigger, 2 to 4 year olds brought $14.60, 5 to 8 year olds was bringing 1443, and then we had some over 8 year olds still brought almost $1,500. And that was your report from Jerry Nine yesterday from the Woodward Livestock Auction. All right, let's check out what we got else got going on here today. Let me tell you about my adventure this morning. You know, we have a Jimmy adventure every now and then. So I left this morning, went south towards Willow, checked the cows down there. First batch was good. Nothing abnormal going on there. And then went down to check the other bunch of cows, and I was driving around the section, and I thought, what are these two cows and these two pairs doing over here on the far west side when all the grass is on the east side? It's a mile long there. And I just didn't think about it. There's two pairs there, and I didn't pull in the pasture. I was out on the road. If I'd got my binoculars out, I would have found out that they weren't mine. And I got down there to the east side of the pasture, and cows were all looking at me, you know, how they recognize your truck. So I got out, crawled over the fence, and it's still a little wet down there, and I didn't want to be messing around the pasture. All my cows, they all come running towards me, even though I didn't have nothing for them. And I started counting. I thought, all right, there's 15 head here. Like, whoa, wait a minute. There's two head over there, and I don't see the bull. And then out of those mesquite trees, here comes some more black cows. They were coming from every direction. I was like, huh. So I got way too many cattle in that pasture. So I called my local informant, and he informed me whose they was, and I should have figured it out by the ear tag. So we got a little bit of a mess in there, but we're such good neighbors over there. I told him to tell that guy that he's using up my valuable water. But anyway, we'll get it all straightened out one of these days. Then I drove on down towards Granite, went east of Granite towards Lone Wolf to check out the corn that's growing down there on the pivot. I'm paying attention. It's my first year with corn, and with the advice of some really good friends, having a good time doing it, and it's doing good. I got the water on the pivot, and it's making ears right now. It's pollinating. Everything is just going wayno, and the temperatures are just right. 80s and low 90s for pollinating corn is good. So I think I'm not counting my chickens before they hatch, but we'll see how much corn we put in the trucks. We'll see how it's going. Got the Kiowa County, Oklahoma Department of Agriculture trapper down there looking for me some hogs because they have been in there. And anyway, so it's all good. And we'll see how it all pans out. Well, when I come back, I'm going to talk to you about some cattle. And we got some stuff, the reports out from 2020 during the pandemic year. We got all kinds of things to talk about. And like again, pass the word out there that tomorrow we will be doing Aaron Live, the Today in Ag show on KWFX 100.1 out of Woodward. Like I said, I'm excited about it. I don't know if anybody else here in the studio is, but I think they are. Just a lot to get everything on the same time and do the whole nine yards. Hey, we got that going on, and Jancy Ripito will be in here helping me tomorrow, so everything will be good. It's the Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
This hour's weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden.
Every farmer and rancher knows nutrition is key when it comes to getting the best out of every animal. That's why you need feed that's built the reputation on providing the best nutrition possible. iPro Feed's commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the results you deserve. Hobart Farm and Garden is your local iPro Feeds dealer providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, or sacks. Visit them online at HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
Farmers and ranchers love used trailers. It's heavier steel. They're built better. They're tough. They've got rubber flooring, every kind of amenity that you can think of in a ranch trailer. They're framed in differently so that you're not having crackouts and breaks in the trailer frame. Their tires come 18-ply. Farmers and ranchers love used trailers, and we've got them. The name of our business is Cattle King Manufacturing. We're 2 miles south of the golf course here at Elk City on Highway 6. On Facebook, just search Cattle King Manufacturing. 303-4246. 303-4246.
Good afternoon, great stewards of the land. Drew Cobb here with your Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, August 26th. 2,481 head were sold. 16 head of steers at 328 brought 233. 5 at 425 brought 217. 11 at 486 brought 205. 6 at 530 brought 182. 3 at 550 brought 185. 8 at 589 brought 182. 11 at 774 brought 151.50. 3 head of heifers at 298 brought 180. 8 at 467 brought 190. 6 at 494 brought 163. 9 at 536 brought 161. 11 at 582 brought 166. 5 at 602 brought 167. 14 at 971 brought 130. Butcher cows were 8 to 103.50. Butcher bulls brought 74 to 120. Bred cows were 685 to 1525. Pairs brought 1250 to 1650. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
Once that gets in your blood, you're not going to get it out. Once you are ate up with cattle, farming, agriculture, it's a hard drug to kick. You're putting a crop out there, you're turning your cows out, and watching what you do grow, and watching the things that you take care of, things you care for, move on with their life cycle. Just seeing a result from your hard work. I'm Jason Redd, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyard's weekly cattle sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
I'll figure this out here. I got a note in my way. Well, currently we are, come on, fire up there. 87 degrees, heat index is at 89. This is at the Elk City Mezzanine Center. Man, that chances of rain looking better on this long ranger forecast than we had yesterday. So all is good there. Let's check out some air temperatures in our listening area. We have 87 at Woodward, 89 at Arnett, home of the famous Lori Campbell. 86 at Cheyenne, home of the famous Jimmy Taylor. And might throw Frank Lucas in there too if you want me to. Eric's 87, home of Roger Miller. And in 87 at Hollis, that is home of Ashley Thornburg. She's the owner at Southbound. I knew that much. Mangum, I just know too many people at Mangum to mention, but I'll go with Mickey Lively since he's one of our sponsors. He's 88 at Mangum. Anyway, we'll have your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast coming up for you here shortly. Well, since it is the Jimmy Taylor or the Taylor Ranch, let me back up. It's the Taylor Ranch Happy Cap Hour, and we're all about beef today. Let's check this out. Beef, it's what's for dinner. 300 returns to the Daytona Speedway, International Speedway. For the third year in a row, Daytona International Speedway announced its partnership with beef. It is what's for dinner to sponsor the 42 season opening race for the NASCAR Infinity Series. The beef what's for dinner 300, the race is scheduled to kick off the season on Saturday, February 18th, coming up next February, that is, at the Daytona International Speedway, the day before the 65th annual Daytona 500. I don't know if any of you guys have ever been to the Daytona International Speedway, but I've been there twice, and to the Daytona 500. I was there when the younger George Bush landed right there at the Daytona International Airport, drove the limousine right into the speedway. It was pretty cool times. And that's also when, I think, who was it? Not Daryl, but his brother, Michael, wrecked that car bad right in front of us. We had an RV up on the turned three. It was pretty cool wreck, and he came out on it all right, but it was scary. But Beef It's What's for Dinner is an iconic brand funded through the national and state support of beef farmers and ranchers as part of the Beef Checkoff Program and managed by the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, the NCBA. This partnership we have with the Beef Checkoff and the NCBA is unique to our sport, and our fans love it, said Daytona International Speedway President Frank Keller of the Beef It's What's for Dinner 300. The race has been giving beef farmers and ranchers the perfect platform to reach consumers and tell the tasty story of beef. We have had two incredible beefs. It's What's for Dinner 300 events, and again, can't wait to smell the beef on our grills of our campers in February. The fan favorite Daytona Speed Weeks, presented by the A2V Health, kicks off with the Blue Green Vacations Duel, followed by the Beef It's What's for Dinner 300 and the iconic Daytona 500. Fans of all ages from across the country will gather to tailgate and fire up their grills as the drivers start their engines. From the love for the race day tailgating to the shared sense of legacy, NASCAR and beef have always gone hand in hand. We're honored to be back for the third year and once again sponsor the beef. It's What's for Dinner 300 on behalf of the beef farmers and ranchers, says Clark Price, Federation Division Vice Chairman of the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. What better way to celebrate beef as a race day food favorite than at one of the most famous racetracks in the country? In addition to the race name, the Beef It's What's for Dinner brand and logo will appear everywhere throughout the Daytona International Speedway, as well as on the winner's trophy in the victory lane. For race fans and beef fans not attending the race, Beef will be promoted on a national radio ads through additional promotional support provided by the NCBA's Beef Checkoff Fund at Work. Last but not least, during the 2022 Beef It's What's for Dinner 300, Austin Hill took the checkered flag, and he'll join them in February to see who takes the trophy and the beef in 2023. There you go. Well, speaking of races, where did I do with that? Here we go. The Elk City Motor Sports Park Talking Points is the 305 Race Saver Sprint cars are coming this Saturday night to all new Elk City Motor Sports Park, presented by KECO. The sprint cars are fast and furious, so don't miss this race. Anybody wants to go to this race? I got some armbands, some wristbands, if anybody wants to go. So if you'll text in to the Today and Ag text line at 580-225-9697 and tell me whether you like your beef steaks bone in or bone out, and give me your name. You got to put your name in there. If you don't give me your name, I'm not going to award you these two wristbands. Text in 225-9697, bone in or bone out on your steaks, and put me your name, and I'll take the third text. How's that? We'll get that done. And to go to the Elk City, and these tickets, these wristbands are good for all year, for this season only. So anyway, we got that going on. All right, let's see what else we got going on in the beef world. Here we go. Okay. The NASS cattle reports is showing it's on its mid-year cattle report. It provided a snapshot of the U.S. cattle herd, which includes both beef and dairy cattle, as well as a glimpse into the producer's outlook for retaining heifers and the availability of cattle for the placement in the coming year. What I'm seeing, it's going down. The report estimated that the U.S. cattle herd on July 1st was at 98.8 million head, which is 2% or 2 million head below a year ago, 2 million less than last year. Currently, the U.S. beef industry is in contracting phase of the cattle cycle that begins during 2014 and peaked in 2019. As the number of cattle have declined since 2019, several indicators in the report were evaluated to assess the stage of the herd reduction. While the report does not distinguish beef cattle from dairy cattle in its statistics, it does specify separate statistics for heifers and cows. That is significant, as beef females make up two-thirds of all females and about a third of all cattle types. To gauge the direction and magnitude of the cattle cycle, it is important to examine the estimated number of beef cows and the number of beef heifers producers expect to retain, either replace older cows or increase their herds. According to this cattle report, the number of beef cows on July 1st was estimated at 30.4 million head. That's 2.4% below July 1st of 2021. The number of dairy cows is estimated at 9.5 million head. That's 0.5% less than the previous year. Further, producers intend to keep about 4.2 million beef heifers as beef cows replacements. That's almost 3.5% fewer than producers intended to keep at this time last year. This is one of the lowest retention estimates of replacement heifers as a percent of beef cattle since 2011, and the lowest total heifers estimated for retention since the series began in 1973. During this time, the number of heifers retained have ranged from 4.2 to 7.9 million head. And in addition, dairy producers are retaining 3.8 million heifers. That's the fewest replacement heifers since 2005. For context, since 1973, the number of dairy heifers retained mid-year has kept a range between 3.6 and 5 million head. Other heifers, which are females, typically sit to the feedlots and not retained for breeding purposes, are also reported in the cattle report. When fewer heifers are retained for beef cow replacements, more females might enter the feedlots. Although the number of heifers declined from last year, as did all types of cattle, the heifers on feed increased. According to the July NASS report, the cattle on feed report, that is, the number of cattle on feed totaled 11.3 million head as of July 1st, up slightly from last year. This report estimated 4.4 million heifers on feed, which is an increase of 3% and represented a larger share of cattle on feed than last year. There you go. One more thing. The initial estimate of the 2022 cattle calf crop report in the cattle is estimated at 34.6 million head. That's a 1.5% below last year. The ratio of calf crop to number of cows and heifers expected to calve on January 1st was higher than it was in the last 3 years, and the ratio was larger than expected. So there you go. Well, let's talk to Jerry Nine and get his official report from his sales this week.
This is Jerry Nine, owner of the Woodward Livestock Auction. First sale is Thursday, September the 1st. We're expecting 3,000 cattle. We'll start the auction 8 a.m. From Sealing, we've got 55 steers and heifers that are off the cow, weigh 5 to 6. Laverne, we've got 40 steers and heifers, 5 to 6, 50 off the cow. Woodward, 50 steers and heifers at 5 off the cow. Amarillo, Texas, off of old cows. We've got 330 kids, weigh 275 to 350. They'll be thin, nice little kids. Sayers, 60 steers and heifers, 4 to 6 off the cow. Brownlee, Texas, 100 steers and heifers, 4 to 550. And Thomas, got 120 steers, 8.5 to 9. Seymour, Texas, 40 steers and heifers. They're gelbies, weigh 600 pounds. Fort Supply got 130 steers at 8, and Fargo got 200 black steers, two different drags, 100 sell in one bunch, 100 another, weigh 9 to 1,000, and 14 Charlotte Cross steers, off of them weighing 9 to 1,000. Had a very good cow and bull market on Tuesday, top bull selling at 123, cows topped at 95, selling 1,388 cow, bulls, and calves, finished the sale at 1 p.m. We'll see you this Thursday, 8 a.m. sharp. Thanksgiving, Jerry Nine, and the Woodward Livestock Auction.
Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
And we've seen it in our own operation, and we've heard other people tell it too. You go out when it's 105 degrees outside, and you look around, and the black cows are standing in the pond or in the shade trees, and the red cows are out grazing. The red hide color the cow's going to stand out and eat during the heat of the day. She's not going to be laying under the shade tree and be up eating all night or not putting on weight. When it's been raining and the grass is 3 foot tall, they're going to be out eating all day long. Benji White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com on Facebook. Follow us at B&L Red Angus.
Right now, hay coverage is a big deal. You know, price of hay right now is very expensive. The ability to get hay right now, and when people get their hands on it, it's probably one of the most expensive assets that they have in their operation right now. And we can insure that hay for fire. I know there's been a lot of wildfires and people have a concern for that. And then if you're an existing customer with us and you have a farm and ranch policy, you know, people need to understand that's not something that's automatically included. They would need to call and let our office know what coverage they need for their hay, and we can add that onto their farm and ranch policy. We can insure hay on a standalone policy, which is something that maybe some others don't offer. Even if you don't have business with us currently, we can write hay insurance.
Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
Ron Hayes here. Here's what the good folks are saying about SEI Agritech's Livestock Nutrition Center's feed and minerals.
Hello, this is Sean Wyatt. I have a cow-calf operation, and I buy my feed from Kent Watkins at SEI Agritech in Elk City. Kent will provide the best service possible. I highly recommend giving SEI Agritech a call about your feed and minerals.
If you want better feed and better results, visit SEI Agritech in Elk City, your local Livestock Nutrition Center authorized distributor, located on South Randall in Elk City.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Welcome back. Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger Forecast. It looks good to me as far as I'm concerned. Currently here at the Elk City Mesonet, we have 89. Heat index is 91. The winds are out of the east, northeast at 13 miles an hour with gusts up to 21. But at the Gabe Gadget Mesonet here in our studio, it's 89.1%. Or degrees and 43% humidity, and winds are light out of the east northeast here. Today, 90 degrees. Tonight, 68. Tomorrow, 30% chance of thunderstorms with 86 as a high. Tomorrow night, 67. Friday, partly sunny, 90 degrees. Friday night, the rain chances come back in, 20% slight chance of storms, 66 for a low. Saturday, 88 degrees, 30% chance of rain. Saturday night, 20% chance of rain. Sunday, 88 for a high, 20% chance of rain. We got all kinds of stuff coming up around here. They got, what is it? Let me give it to my camera. Let me get them into the deal. Here we go. Coming up this Friday, September 2nd, 3rd, and 4th, Elk City Rodeo of Champions. Saturday, we'll be having the Elk City Rodeo Parade, and it's one of the biggest, if not the biggest, parade in western Oklahoma, so you get a chance to come to that. But then coming up a couple weeks from this Saturday, it's the first annual Sayre Shortgrass Rodeo, and it is KPRA sanctioned. Free dance each night with live music, tickets. Prices, 4 and under, free, 5 to 12 year olds, $5. 13 years older, old and up, $10. Friday, the rodeo's Friday, September 16th, and Saturday, September 17th. The performances begin at 7 o'clock each night there at the Sayre City Park and the Rodeo Arena. So it's exciting times. Sayre's stepping their game up. They got a lot going on over there this year. They had the Dust Bowl Parade, the big music festival, the Sam Plum or the Plum Fest, Wild Plum Fest. There we go. My memory had to come back in there. And now they got this shortgrass rodeo going on. So congratulations to Sayre for stepping it up. So anyway, current temperatures around our listening area, just to go back over them just a little bit. Woodward, you're 87. Slapouts, 85. Beaver, you're 87. Hollis, 88, 91 degrees at Mangum. Looks like that's the warm spot now. And Weatherford, you're at 89. Putnam is at 92. So anyway, or let's check out what else we need to talk about today. This is always put a little spur under people's saddle with foreign people buying property in the United States, especially here in Oklahoma and Texas. But are foreign entities buying U.S. farmland, is that a threat or just a hyper hole? During his visit to Ohio last week, Florida Governor Mr. Ron, everybody knows Governor Ron DeSantis, praised Republican U.S. Senate nominee J.D. Vance's forceful opposition of the Chinese Communist Party. He said Vance would be tough on them in the Senate if elected. So get by all the political crap. In Florida, though, the governor has signed legislation banning Confucius Institute's programs funded by the Chinese government to promote the country's language and culture abroad. But it's a different bit of resistance, according to the applause that he got. We are being very mindful of trying to infiltrate our economy. We're going to be doing legislation to block them from purchasing land in our state. We need other states to follow this as well. Concerns about national security and the country's food system have driven fears of foreign entities in purchasing U.S. land. Not surprisingly, when it comes to farmland, the issue tends to emanate the rural, traditionally conservative voters. But lawmakers on both sides of the aisle have raised concerns about the practice. The USDA maintains data about foreign land ownership under the Agriculture Foreign Investment Disclosure Act of 1978. The picture that those data paint seems to undermine fears and some kind of covert incursion. In all, foreign owners control less than 3% of the country's farmland. Canadians represent the biggest share, controlling a bit less than a third of that total. Owners from the Netherlands, Italy, Germany, and the United Kingdom hold another third. Chinese owners, meanwhile, hold just 0.5% of privately held U.S. farmland. Even expanding the scope to include non-agriculture land, Chinese owners still represent less than 1% of foreign-held acres. But Caitlin Welch cautions the information is far from complete. Welch serves as the Director of Global Food Security Program at the Center for Strategic and International Studies. We don't know the scale of foreign land ownership in the United States. We rely on data that's voluntarily provided by states to the USDA. There's, in theory, some sanctions for not reporting that data in a timely manner. But those sanctions are rarely applied. And Welch added that even if the percentages are small, they're not significant. They're not insignificant. The foreign held land we know about would still cover the state of Iowa. In terms of acres held by foreign entities, Ohio ranks near the middle, both in raw numbers and percentage. German investors roughly hold 77,000 acres in Ohio. That's the largest share of the 500,000 acres of foreign-owned land in that state. China's really not even on the radar, according to the Ohio Farm Bureau. Despite the small footprint, Higgins said the issue is attention because where investors are buying. So there you go. It's not a big deal, but it really is a big deal. So I'm totally against it. Also, I forgot to announce who won the tickets. My bad. Let me go back to this. Actually, it was 50-50. Quite a few texts come in. It is exactly 50-50 on the bone-in and bone-out. Half want bone-in, half want bone-out. Me, I don't know. I like T-bones, don't get me wrong, but when you're getting your beef butchered, I like to do bone out because you know why? I think that flavor's already there. And so instead of the T-bone, I get the filet and get the Kansas City strip. I'll never call my stuff New York strip. But I get two steaks, so that's two steaks for the price of one. Because one big T-bone, especially out of the beef that we get, is a big steak. So congratulations to Nicole Thiessen. She won the tickets to the Elk City Motor Speedway for this weekend or for the rest of the season. So anyway, congratulations on that. All right, let's get rid of the Chinese thing and let's go to this report that I had that I was talking to you guys about earlier in the show about they got some stuff, more numbers that came out of the 2020 year for farm subsidies. That was the year of the COVID. Farmers face higher expenses and earn less money from their crops and livestock than initially expected in 2020 due to the market disruptions caused by the pandemic, said a USDA COVID-19 working paper. By many standards, such as debt-to-asset ratio, the financial strength of the sector softened in 2020 despite $45.7 million in federal subsidies, the largest ever, said the USDA. All liquidity and profitability ratios were weaker than average. This finding suggests worse than average financial performance for the farm sector as the whole in 2020, said the Economic Research Service. However, net farm income in 2020 is higher than average over the past 20 years when the series is adjusted for inflation. The debt to asset and equity to asset ratios, indicators on farm financial health, climbed in 2020 as farmers took on more debt. The ratios have been on a slow rise since 2012 when the commodity boom crested, but are not at a burdensome levels. Agricultural production was worth $355 billion in 2020, and that's or near 7% less than expected, mostly because of supply chain disruptions and changes in the global demand for meat and poultry due to the pandemic. However, the decrease or the downward revision was completely offset by the increase in government payments from COVID-19 assistance, said the paper's four authors. The $45.7 billion in support was a record in both current dollar and inflation-adjusted terms and was three times larger than the USDA forecasted in February of 2020, a month before the coronavirus swept the United States. Net farm income, a measure of profitability, was at $95.2 billion in 2020. That's the highest in 7 years, but that was $1.5 billion lower than the USDA's first forecast of the year. Profitability ratios for the year were mixed, and the working paper said any improvements was largely the result of record government payments. Even after improvement in the 2020, all ratios was still weaker in the 20-year average. In February, lastly but not leastly here, in February, the USDA forecast net farm income at $113.7 billion this year, a decline from $119 billion last year. In either case, income would be far higher than the 10-year average of $90 billion. The ERS is scheduled to update its forecast on the farm income next Thursday. Be interesting to see what that is, because everybody come out of that pandemic year, crazy year with the coronavirus, and ever since then, when that thing's kind of calmed down, inputs have gone stupid because of labor shortages or just a bunch of people making money, bigger companies, large income making money, jacking prices up because our fuel, our chemicals, our fertilizer, our equipment prices, I don't know. It's crazy what's going on this year. All right. What have we got? Oh, we got just a little bit left here. I had something I wanted to talk to you about. Delete that. You guys need to get your corn, You need to get your, you know what's coming up next month? Probably about 5-6 weeks away, we got peanut harvest going to start. The diggers are going to be out in full force. Wheat plant is going to be going on, and this is one of the busiest time of the year, starting about right now, because I know people are getting their seeds cleaned and getting ready to put some winter forage in the ground. But I just want to let you guys know that peanut harvest is coming up, and I'm going to be doing live reports from them peanut combines out there. So this is going to be a fun year for me. Anyway, you guys have been listening to Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark. We'll see you guys tomorrow, and God bless.